Hit it.
Hey there, welcome to Motorcycles and Misfits at the Recycle Garage. We've got with us tonight me, Liza. We've got Douglas.
Hey.
Got Megan.
Hey.
Got Mike.
Howdy.
Lucas.
What's going on?
Donut.
Hey.
And have you ever had somebody's name who you cannot figure out how to pronounce it and they keep saying it over and over and over and they've even spelled it for you and you still have trouble understanding it?
No, it's just you.
It might just me. So
it's just you, Lisa.
I call her, thank you. I call her Ahi Tuna Girl. You want to pronounce your name?
Anai.
I told you it was Anai.
I know, but it's, I tried my best.
That's okay.
He even spelled it for me. I'm like, I don't understand. So let's see, we've got a lot going on in the garage today. Let's cover projects, what we worked on today. Or this weekend, CBRs have had a lot of trouble.
Three separate CBRs took a crap, all because of the regulator rectifier.
Did Zoe's too?
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
Zoe's did today, that's why it died, because it wasn't charging. Because it was the wire going into it,
mm-hmm.
And then yours. Yeah. Same thing. Two in one day, and then one week before.
Exploded.
Yeah, Megan, actually, we went to take the regulator rectifier off of Zoe's bike to try it on Lucas's.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did, all the connectors kind of just crumbled and one of them was melted in there. And it was like, it was no longer charging. That's why the battery went dead. So it's a good thing we went to borrow that because we discovered it. It's a mess. Someone at some other point, it fried it and they didn't, the original block connector, it's gone, and they just use individual spade connectors that are just crimped on, so the wires are pulling out. It's a mess.
And by previous owner, do you mean you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Previous to me, previous to Eason, maybe previous to the last kid. I don't know, but it's a mess. So, let's see. We got the... So, Lucas, you want to share your story of your CBR not working last night?
Yeah. So I was just hanging out. I was on a date with this chick, and
that's exactly when you don't want your bike to take a dump.
Right. And we were like, all right, well, I'll see you later. She gets in her car, and I get on my bike, and I go to start it, and it's like, and I'm like, oh no, what's wrong now? And she gets out of her car, and she's like, is everything all right? I'm like, my bike's not working right now. So, kind of made myself look like an asshole. But Liza was kind enough to come give me a tow on one of her Trail 70s.
CT70 towing service.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that was fun. And then I've just spent the last, couple days wrenching on it. Thought it was a short at first, but I mean, given the fact that we already had two bikes, so the reg wreck exploded. We decided to take a look at that, and I found that...
Well, the real key is when you finally brought the wiring diagram, and we were able to see where everything goes.
One of the wires in the harness went to the reg wreck, and we're like, we started to put two and two together. And then a knock came over, and he just looked at it, he's like, hey, dude, look at this, and there's, like, a crack in it, and it's kind of, like, exploded a little bit. It's like... Okay, well, I guess I don't have to read through all the wiring harnesses to figure out, what's going on. Obviously, the reg wreck's exploded, so I guess that's saving a lot of time.
And then how long does it take you to take bodywork on and off?
This is the absolute worst bike I've ever had with bodywork. Just based, mostly the front fairing is just such a nightmare because you have to like insert five tabs at once and like fit it into two different grommets and then there's a hosey to connect. And
I think you missed one down in the center.
No.
Behind the front tire.
No, I didn't. I didn't miss any.
There's an empty hole there.
No, I got them all. Yeah. I got them all.
I'm looking at it too.
See, that might work. That might work if I haven't done this like 50 times already, and I know where they all go, and I hate doing it every single time. But this is the worst bike for bodywork ever, and I mean, I sold it to my brother. I'm still holding on to it, but he's going to turn it into a street fighter, and I wholeheartedly approve. So you won't ever have to go through the fucking hardships and pain and suffering I did just to, like, change a freaking oil filter or something,
And, let's see. I noticed that I'm looking at it right now. The front fender is a little missing pieces.
Yeah, it's like two-thirds there. Long story short, these assholes tried to jack this bike, and I caught them doing it, and they all ran away like a bunch of little pussies, and I didn't notice until months later, but they had cracked the side of my fender right around where the bolt was holding it on. And then I guess just after one day, I went over one bump too many and it just broke off. And I was riding from Santa Cruz to the Bay Area. And when I got there, I noticed that it had been rubbing my tire the entire time. And it had just like melted and like curled backwards. And I took it to my brother and he was like, oh, shit, look at that. And so we just got, you know, like, I don't know what we did. We got like a saw or something and just like chopped it off.
It looks good. I like it.
It looks
matte. Gives it some personality.
Yeah.
Hey, well,
it's got character.
He bought it for me.
More reason to make it a Street Fighter.
Right. He bought it for me, so I really don't give a rat's ass. It's his problem now. But yeah, it looks kind of shit.
Well, at least we figured out the problem and it started. Yeah. On a side note, I wanted to share the story of coming to tow you last night.
Oh, yeah?
Which, I got the call, hey, can you come tow me? And I thought for a second there, well, he could just push it, the four blocks.
Oh, that would have been real considerate.
Which would be more legal, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, all right, CT70 towing service. And since it was getting dark and Doug's bike is the only one with lights and mine actually wasn't starting at the time, okay, I head off up the street to pick you up. And I got a, you haven't heard this story yet. I got a Pergolisi, and I'm just kind of going down the street. I mean, what?
Maybe it's the vortex
20 or 25, right?
Too.
Just putting.
Yeah, the vortex of bad driving.
And I'm just putting down the street, and this car assumed it was a four-way stop sign. So here I come, and this car comes to a stop, and then they just pull out right in front of me. And there were people in the other crosswalk. I saw them. So it's like, I don't know where to go, right? Oh, and so my instinct is to reach for the front brake, which the cable's broken.
There's three brakes.
I know, but we're talking split-second decision. Your instinct, your training is go for the front brake. So then I'm like, I just screamed. I went, wah! And swerved and went around the front of the car, like, and he stopped. Otherwise, I would have hit him because I had nowhere to go. But he was completely in my lane. I had to swerve into the other lane and avoid pedestrians and him. And I was like, holy shit. And then he told me the wrong street. So I'm driving around downtown on unplated mini bike with barely dim lights.
Yeah, it was one street over.
So I saw a cop. I'm like, shit. And I ditch into a parking garage. I'm like circling around downtown going, this is so sketchy. I don't want to get busted. But I finally found him and towed him in, which I still want to see the GoPro of that.
Yeah, I took a video of it.
Of Liza towing
it? Yeah, I figured it would be fun.
Okay, well,
so
the funny part, too, is, I mean, I don't want to lose motion once I get going, so I'm just like, every stop sign I come to, I'm blowing it, you know?
It's like, I'm going through, and I'm like,
I'm
okay.
I'm going through, don't break. If there was no cars there, I'm like, I'm just going, because we're just going, nee, 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 through.
I mean, we're going like 5, 10 miles an hour, like real
if
slow.
They can't see us, right? But it's a lot sketchier if I'm trying to stop and start, so I'm just like, I'm just going to keep going. So we basically just beelined it all the way in here. But hey, it worked.
Is this the CT70 that you're doing paperwork on with the DMV?
It's one of them.
It was the one that Doug was wheeling.
Oh, okay. Earlier. Yeah, I got a photo of that, so we'll put that up on the website.
Yeah, send that to me.
So proud of that one.
Doug is CT70.
Send that to me. I'll put it up.
Yeah, CT70 Stoner.
That's what I was going to say. CT70 Stoner.
I think we need like a subset of photos of Doug on small red vehicles. Because we got one last week of him on my scooter. Says.
With a huge grin on his face,
yes,
too, might I add.
I was laughing because you guys were taking photos of me.
You looked so happy.
No, we were so happy.
On that scooter.
I was ecstatic.
Dream come true, huh? Yeah.
Let's see what else. I got my Trail 70. I got the lights to work with a battery, but apparently there's no charging system. And then apparently I lost spark once I made the lights work. And then I figured out I hooked some wires together. They weren't supposed to be. I unhooked them. The bike would start, but no charging. So I still have to figure that one out.
Let's go to the source.
Yeah.
Find the stator. Just find what's hot.
Yeah, I'll get it eventually, but I want to make it. We want to get them street legal. That's the thing. I want to go riding them out there so that when we are drag racing.
We do. Because we're not speeding.
We're not speeding.
If anything, it's just a noise complaint.
Yes, if anything, it's a noise complaint. Exactly. So working on getting that street legal. I changed the oil seal on the XL70. Every time I fix an oil leak, a new one appears. I don't know what's up with that. But right now that bike is nearing completion in that it's almost sellable. But now it's fun.
You don't have to
I don't want to sell
drop
it
the engine again for that. Because you can just take off the...
Well, I still want to sell it, but I want to sell it in good conscience. So I want to ride it a bit and make sure nothing else falls off.
If you need someone to ride it around, I volunteer.
It stopped smoking from places, so that's good.
It's good. So it's not leaking from the countershaft anymore?
No.
That stopped. Okay.
Yes. So that's good. And I use your trick of drilling at holes in there, mm-hmm. and then I use the dent puller.
The dent puller.
Bang, bang, bang. Got it right out. That was awesome. What else did... Oh, let's see. Flora dropped by today to bleed her brakes, and she thinks that she...
Blew the head
on her Beamer, her F650.
What did she come by? Did she come by on the Beamer today?
Car. Yeah.
Who is this? I haven't met her before, have I?
She's somebody who comes by every now and then. She's a cool chick.
She
Yes.
She's a little older than you.
It's just everybody's little.
She's out of your league. She dated Leif.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a joke.
As he's gonna creepily look her up on Facebook. Yeah.
No. What's her last name?
And she was saying something about she was losing coolant and didn't know where.
Yeah, it's her coolant is disappearing.
Oh, no. She still doesn't know where it is.
Should I mention that joke I played with the person whose name we won't mention concerning Flora and the text? Do you remember this?
Yes. That was so mean. I was not involved in this. I just heard about this.
One of the guys in the shop, I won't call him out, but Flora had come by, and she's very sweet and very pretty. And afterwards, he texted me, like, hey, what's the story with Flora? She's single? And I responded back, actually, yes, and she was asking about you. Turns out she's totally into bald, slightly overweight guys. And she told me she's really into anal. And he's like, awesome, can I get your number?
This was right when I first started coming to the garage, too.
And I'm like, he didn't get it.
Who are these people?
He did not get that, did he?
I'm stuck wondering who this guy is.
He did not smell the scent of sarcasm. Let's see, what else did we work on today? Well, there's a bunch of people who didn't show up today to work on their bikes. So
yeah, the ones that need to be here.
We'll have to notify him of the 4-week rule. That 4 weeks of if your bike's out here with no one working on it, we get to take parts off. Parts that we need.
Good rule.
Well, and Zoe, it hasn't been 4 weeks and it hasn't been stored here, but I started the clock early on hers. But it turns out it's good that we took her reg wreck off. So hey, let's talk about what some of us did yesterday. The bike show.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Donut and Ahi and I, bike to the girl, went up to the bike show, the Progressive Bike Show, and rode up with a group of people, had a good ride. Well,
foggy ride.
Let me put it this way. What did you wear on the ride? What did you come prepared? This is a members-only jacket. It's very thin right? A thin members-only jacket. What do you have on underneath? A t-shirt?
tank top and crop top.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so we head up the coast, and it's probably, it's foggy and maybe 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Plus wind chill.
Yeah.
I told her it'd get cold.
No.
I just didn't want to, have to carry them once we got there. So I suffered.
Did you tell her about the free gear check?
Mm. He didn't.
And there you go.
My fault.
Yes, it's always the place.
Yeah, I know, so you had two sweaters on under your leather jacket. She was fortunate enough to be given some gloves to borrow, but I know she froze her patootie off. She was on the back of my bike, but you kept my ass nice and warm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And at least she had you as a windscreen, you know?
I was like geared up, totally warm. I was a little bummed that my heated grips weren't working because they came unplugged, and Douglas had my winter gloves. Thank you. But hey, I survived. Yeah. But the thing that was kind of exciting, and I want to get your guys' story. As soon as we got there, we pulled over to do the test rides, the free test rides. And I headed right to the Kawasaki trailer because I wanted to sign up for like the Z1000 or something. And there was a pretty long line there, and I'm waiting in line. And I asked one of the ladies I recognized, I'm like, hey, are the Z1000s available? She's like, oh no, people got here early for that. They signed up, it's booked up. Well, let me see what's available for you. She comes back, she goes, well, the Versys are available. I said, well, thanks, that's what I rode here on, so don't need to test ride it. But we went over to the Victory trailer, and there was about a 20-minute wait.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. There was nothing. And...
Hello?
Hello? Is this our food being delivered? Come on in.
Thank you.
Hola. Yeah, awesome.
Hi, how's it going?
We are so lucky to have our favorite taqueria right here and delivers. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Enjoy.
All right, thanks.
See you then.
They do take care of.
All right.
Practically live off of them.
I know. Well, right in our parking lot is a taqueria, so they just deliver to the garage. They're
very
sweet.
I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, yes.
The only thing that is labeled is the beef.
Oh, the beef?
Nachos?
No.
Something.
I know what it is.
Okay,
though.
The super one. The other beef regular ones are on top.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you. So I want to get your guys' reviews of the victories that you rode. What was the one, Mike, that you rode?
I had the 8-ball hammer, or what the hell was it called? It was the one with the giant back tire.
250 rear tire.
Yeah. And
you've ridden an Elite scooter and your CB550.
And my CB550, and then occasionally I'll borrow a bike around here, and I think I'd, what was it, Zoe's Shadow? What
did you? Yeah,
no, you rode the CBR.
No, I
rode
the
Shadow
before she first sold it. And so I get on this enormous thing, nice and cozy. It did not feel enormous, sort of taking it out, and it felt...
Did you ever stall?
No.
Okay.
No, the guy next to me kept stalling every time we stopped. But no, it was great. The only thing was that 250 tire meant that, like, when we did some of the curves, I definitely had to do a lot of counter steering. And I'm glad they told me ahead of time, because they made an announcement for everybody that, you know, if you're on one of the big tires, you're gonna have to do some extra counter steering.
Right.
And so went into that first curve and was like, oh yeah, for real. But still managed to do it pretty good, and you know.
So you're liking the cruiser thing?
I'm liking the cruiser thing. Yeah. The only thing that threw me was that because it was such a bigger engine than my CB550 is that, where, you know, usually I'm in fourth or fifth gear by the time I'm in 40 miles an hour or something like that, I couldn't figure out what gear I needed to be in.
Right.
I was trying to listen to the the engine, but
and these things redline at like 5,000 or something.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, that's what the big twins up do.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what I was. So I was shifting up and down all the time, trying to find, just basically learning where, like, mm-hmm. what each gear felt like. I felt bad for whoever who has to sort of work on the bike after I was done with it.
Right.
But yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
All right, David, what'd you think of yours?
Had a good time. Yeah. The guys told us before we got on the bikes that we needed to stay in formation. In a staggered formation, and When we got out there, everyone was just actively trying to kill one another. No one was in formation.
It wasn't that bad, but it did take a few. Until we got sort of, it took a few minutes to sort of for everyone to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I wasn't having that, so I just blasted on ahead.
And
found my own way.
So what else did they tell us? What did they tell us to do?
They told us not to pass the leader
or break formation.
Yeah. Well, there was another guy that was weaving in and out. I learned later he was not part of the group. He was just a solo rider. And so we were kind of playing tag.
Did you notice one of the other guys in our group followed your lead?
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was following you passes, and then he went, oh, shit, there's the leader dude. Oh, fuck, he's over in the left lane. I'm watching him. Do you remember this? He's like, And he, like, backed up. I was like, that's another reason you don't take off, because other people were following you. Like, he knows what he's doing. So what bike were you on? Do you remember?
The highball.
With a... Eight pingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what'd you think of it?
It's really easy to scrape peg, but it was, like Mike said, a really solid, smooth ride. It was nice. Definitely gonna buy one of those one day.
Really? You like the cruisers?
Mm-hmm. So you didn't seem so hip on it right after you got off it. You were like, it's all show or something.
The way the seat was positioned, my back was just aching when I got off it.
Okay.
Was it like all clamshell? Like you're like this?
No, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I mean, coming from like a leaning over sport bike position to a kind of
where you're pitched backwards. Yeah,
it was odd.
I can see that. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna give this a shot here. Anahi. I can't figure out where the Y comes in. Anahi. Okay. I want you to give your review. I will say that we were on the cross country big bagger tour thing. So what was your review as a passenger?
It was so comfortable. I like being able to lean back, and of course the radio.
Yes. Best part. And having floorboards.
Yeah, that was really nice.
So you felt pretty secure back there and just relaxed?
Yeah, I felt
so secure. Okay, let's see if you agree with me. Oh, so you rode up with me too on the Versus, which was fun, but aside from being miserable because you were cold, did you feel that it was a completely different riding experience on a cruiser? Like, I was just having fun, just playing the radio and singing, and it changes the whole experience, I felt. Like, you're not in a rush to get anywhere. This is kind of the cruiser thing. Mm-hmm. You're just having fun and cruising.
Yeah.
My thing that I'm obsessed with is that every time we came to, like, a stoplight, the radio would lower. And then when we get back on the freeway, go up speed, the radio would go up, and I'm like, this is awesome! It was pretty cool. It had cruise control. It had all sorts of features. Oh, yeah. It had speakers in the back for you. Could you hear out of those things?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That was pretty cool.
I pulled up to a light, and I just see Liza lip-singing along.
I was singing my little heart out. I was having a good old time. I stayed behind the leader.
Yeah, those things are. I mean, just. But like I think we were hitting 85 at some point, or so we were up in the 70s or 80s, and I was getting all this sort of wind buffeting around my helmet. I'm like, wow, this is really windy today. Oh no, I'm doing 85. I didn't even realize like how fast we were going.
I had a windshield. I didn't. Oh yeah. It was nice. So then we went into the bike show, saw all sorts of stuff. Anyone have any highlights they want to share? Mike, is your ass sore from all the bikes you sat on?
Yeah, so Liza sort of I went walking around with Liza and you were doing like with this you were giving me a nice tour of stuff like this is what these are and every time I was like oh I'll get on it and so I just like sitting on it every bike it was hilarious, but I'd never actually been on I've never really sat on that many bikes so.
I
wonder what this is like. I wonder what this is like. And then you kept yelling at me because I kept scuffing it up. Because I kept kicking.
Oh, yeah, I said, before you sit on any bikes, make sure your heel clears each time you get on and off.
Yeah. And then every time I didn't, you were like, damn it, Mike. But yeah. No, and the funny thing is, like, we just sort of, from all the bikes I sat on, the one that was immediately sort of, I was like, this is the one, I love this one, was a Triumph Bonneville. which the one of the new ones, which is pretty much the same thing as a CB550 in terms of shape. So I was like, apparently I like my bike.
So another thing I wanted to bring up that a lot of us encountered recently are bad drivers.
Yeah.
You want to share the story of the other night?
Just a disclaimer. I have nothing against Prius drivers, except so they suck. So no offense, but really you suck as drivers. I'm just making an observation. I'm not being carist here. Just an observation that every time you have a problem on the road, it's a fucking Prius in front of you. And I said that earlier today, and then it happened after that earlier today. So
you tempted the gods of hybrid vehicles.
Yes, I tempted the hybrid gods. No, I was going down Lower 9, and I was moving around to pass him. And before I did that, I was thinking this Prius is going to do something stupid. It's going to do something stupid as I get over the double yellow to pass him. So does he. It was like he was making room for me on the right side.
See, the funny thing is...
in a left-hand turn.
The guy in the Prius was thinking, what is this bike doing behind me? I know he's about to do something stupid. And there he goes, he's crossing the yellow line.
For you that don't ride motorcycles and like motorcycles, that's why you're listening to this podcast. If you're in a car... and you get surrounded by motorcycles, or there's a motorcycle behind you and he's tailgating you, just drive normally.
Or pull over.
Or pull over, let him go. Don't be like, oh, high and mighty, I'm going to slow down, make him wait, because we're just going to pass you anyway. But let us do it safely.
I'm going to pass you and give you the finger.
And when we... give us the finger, we don't care.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when people are, like, waving at you to pass. It's like, it's not safe. I'm not going to pass in the middle of a turn.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to pass with fucking oncoming traffic.
This could be a whole other hour of discussion too. Just
grind my gears section.
What grinds my gears? Yeah, that's basically what I'm. It just seems that every time it's a Prius. So sorry if you drive a Prius. Just drive better.
Well, this wasn't a Prius the other night when Doug and I were coming home on Westcliff, but this guy with Texas plates. So we're driving along the coast road, nice little scenic road. Every crosswalk he thought was a stop sign. But he didn't actually stop. He just tapped his brakes and slowed down until he realized it wasn't a stop sign. So every time we're coming up his ass because he keeps suddenly braking in the middle of the road when he shouldn't be braking. So we're just like, what the fuck is this idiot doing? Every time he kept... braking at every crosswalk. So we finally get down a ways where the road splits off into the right lane to go straight and the left turn lane. So he pulls over the right, I pull up into the left lane and start to accelerate a bit, and he suddenly decides he wants to come over to the left lane and just changes lanes. Right. Now, knowing he might do something stupid, I wasn't fully in the lane. I was about halfway up the car lane when he came over, so I just braked. He just cut me off. Then he goes down to the actual stop sign and realizes he doesn't want to turn left, so he blew the stop sign and just cut across the intersection and went straight. Just like, I just couldn't believe it. He's
no
not aware that there's been two motorcycles behind
him
on his ass every time he braked for half a mile.
Right.
So, and now he just decides to just start doing erratic stuff. Like, he had to be aware.
How come you guys weren't hammering the horn? Because I would have been like, what is your problem? You know?
My first instinct is to scream.
They can't hear you when you're screaming.
They did the other night.
Wait, what?
When she towed you.
Yeah.
She screamed the other night and they heard.
Oh.
That's my instinct.
It does work.
And then, Megan, tell your story. I love your response. Because here's, before you do, I think that we need to come up with a solution, because happened just the other day, actually yesterday, when we were splitting lanes on the freeway, mm-hmm. and there was a car that started drifting in too close to the line as I'm coming down the road.
Yeah.
And I get by, I look and the person is texting. And like, I wanted to like bang on the window or do something. So you want to tell your story?
I was lane splitting. I can't remember how long ago, and someone was texting. They kind of started to drift, and I pulled up alongside them, and they were texting, and I banged on the window, like I was knocking. And I think I did this, the, you know, kill it motion. It's just, you know, not safe.
I do like the phone thing, and I just like turn it upside
That's
down.
That's what I was saying.
Put down your goddamn
phone.
I feel like I didn't like do it very aggressively. It's not like I was punching their window. It was like I was knocking on a door.
They'd still be butthurt over that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. It was some, like, you know, freshman UCSC chick, you know.
How about if on gloves, if there is just one, like, metal knuckle?
Mm, yeah.
Bam!
My gloves have metal.
Do you think you can break the window?
Yeah.
If you just hit it and you're going by.
Michael Jackson did in that video.
That's right.
So you know it's true.
Michael Jackson can do it.
So you're saying that instead of plastic or carbon knuckles, we should have like ceramic knuckles?
Maybe. Or the other idea is to have a roll of stickers, pre-printed stickers, that are hanging on your handlebars.
Oh, I like that.
So that you could peel one off and stick it on their window. That has some sort of speech about pay attention.
Images on the sticky side so they can read it. As
yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Get off the phone.
Or maybe it just says, like, warning, watch out, bikers, this car is an asshole.
I'm a shitty driver. Yeah,
I'm a shitty driver. Yes. Oh, it could be like an F. And I'm a shitty driver. Here's your grade.
Nice.
I don't know. I think we need to come up with some sort of retaliation.
Yeah.
And start being... rather than the little polite honk, I like the bang on it or kick them.
I don't know if that's the way to go. It's going to bring a lot of negative attention. Mm-hmm. I settle for filming them with my GoPro and putting it on YouTube. Just to publicly shame them. And you would not believe the amount of people I see texting on Highway 17.
Oh, that's so scary.
And in the freaking twisty part. And I'm like, how are you still alive? You know? Just give it a day, they'll drive off the cliff or something.
That's the one road I won't text on. Just the one.
That is the worst road to text on.
I agree, but yeah. Did you say there were some other drivers recently? You had some other...
I almost got hit on Empire Grade last week.
Yeah.
When was that?
Last week sometime.
Yeah, it was last week. I was going to school from Felton into Santa Cruz, and I took Empire Grade, and... It's like the second to last turn before you get to that stoplight. I went around a corner, and then a car went around a corner at the same, kind of almost at the same time, and they were going really fast, and they blew the double yellow, went into my lane. I laid on the horn, and there was a shoulder there, and I pulled into the shoulder. But if I hadn't,
yeah.
If we'd come around at like just a little bit different timing, I wouldn't have seen them. I would have gotten hit.
What kind of car was it?
It was like a Subaru four-door.
Oh, so it's probably like, some young asshole being a stunna driver.
Woo-hoo! I don't know.
Stunna driver.
I got a friend of mine who lives up there, and he says that like all the locals just sort of do that road at like 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just sort of...
That's it.
That's just sort of the problem is just folks know the road, and so they're just...
This person did not know the road.
Well, that's... Yeah,
this person did not. And, of course, I was on the DRZ, so the horns, when I laid on the horns were really good. And that kind of made me laugh, but... I
hope you scare the shit out.
I hope so, too.
Is that the Ayuga?
You know...
That's the air horn.
And I was thinking about this recently, that I realized when I was 16, 17, like, what a jackass driver I was. Because you know how, and you may all have experienced this, a road right near your house that you know so well, you could almost drive it blindfolded. And I lived up in the hills, and it was a twisty road, and it was just like a block before my house, and I knew this one hump in the road that if you got enough speed,
mm-hmm.
you could almost get air.
Oh, I used to,
but we're on in this little neighborhood twisty road. But as soon as you got off, like got air, you had to turn the wheel a little bit because when you landed, you have to sweep right. But you learned that road and you knew how to do it, and I'd see if I could, how fast I could go. God, if there was ever a biker, I would have killed him, pedestrian or anything. It's like, how did I never kill someone? But it brings up that I always tell bikers, new bikers, any bikers, that it's never the car's fault. It's your fault. It's your responsibility for being in a position they could get you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it, because we keep seeing evidence of these drivers who aren't paying attention. They feel protected in their car, in their Prius or their Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Or who said that They're more likely driving a
BMWs and Priuses. They did a study on this, actually. I can't cite who did it, unfortunately, but I'm sure you could look it up. They actually, I think they counted the number of infractions over a certain time period, and the number one was BMW, and number two is Prius. But they said basically any, like, really, you know, nice luxury car would be the most likely to, you know, commit an infraction or drive dangerously. But anyway.
You probably, because if you slam on the gas in a Prius, you don't really go anywhere.
Well, for some reason, like...
Problem avoiding.
It has nothing to do with the car. It's like one kind of person buys a Prius or something, and they all can't drive.
And they smell their own farts.
Yes, I think your Prius stinks.
So, another thing I wanted to... Let's cover real quick is Donut had some good luck this week. I don't know if you've all
heard. I got stopped by a dick cop. Police officer.
You were living up to your name so well.
This is why you're called Donut.
He gave me a ticket for evading the police when that obviously was not the case. Considering I pulled over.
Eventually.
Considering I pulled over. And I went to the courthouse the other day and to pay off the other infractions on the ticket, which weren't even valid. Just to start off. And he hadn't even filed the ticket. He never filed.
Oh.
So I got off scot-free.
Nice.
Yeah. Guess he was trying to scare me, show me.
See, me cops do like donuts.
You gotta have respect for the law. I am the law.
Now that that's over, it's not gonna happen again, right?
You got it. You got it, boss.
You weren't the only one worried around here.
I'm wondering why he decided to write you down for evading.
I didn't handle the situation all that well. I was kind of a douche. I mean, now the rest of the story.
At least you can be honest and admit it.
Well, I mean, no excuses, but I had a pretty long day, and I just was not having another cop tell me that I need to register a vehicle I bought that same day.
Let us do say that you did not flee or speed or anything.
There was no intent to evade the police.
It's pretty easy to blow away a cop on a CBR 600.
Be like, dude.
Be like, I can get away from you.
Like,
if I wanted to.
You think that's evading or speeding?
Would it be fair to say that you just weren't in the mood to talk to him, so you just acted as if he wasn't there and just continued on your way merrily?
Well, you know, I didn't really consider him a factor in my life until his sirens went off. And there was a bit of time before he decided to turn his sirens on.
When they get in behind you, that's when you gotta run. Because they're gonna turn them on as soon as they call for air support.
Then they're in pursuit, right? As soon as they hit the sirens?
I've actually learned from some cop friends that when they get in behind a bike, they don't turn on the sirens, they actually call for air support first.
Right off the bat.
And then they turn on the siren. So if they get in behind you, that's if you're gonna run, you gotta do it right then.
Well, I mean, I was at a red light, and I knew I had no option. I thought about it, you know.
Well, okay, so another thing I wanted to cover real quick is, I found this interesting. We were talking with Leif the other night, and he has his bike for sale, the one that he built, for a good sum.
$5,000.
And this is a KZ-1000 police bike that he's done some pretty cool modifications.
Yeah.
It could be said it may not be worth $5,000. I mean... that's the thing, when you get into customizing bikes, it's hard to say what they are worth exactly. But when
it's
I asked him...
somebody's willing to pay.
Exactly. Yeah.
This
exactly.
is where it gets interesting. When I asked him how he came to that price, he had said he put it on for like $3,500 the week before, but then he changed his mind. And what changed his mind is he was talking to a friend who had a bike. I don't remember what the bike was.
I can't remember either.
But he said he put his bike up for $1,000 on Craigslist. And he got a bunch of calls, enough calls that he thought, oh, maybe it's worth more. So he didn't respond, and he relisted it for $1,500. He got even more calls.
Well, that's right.
So he didn't respond. He upped the price again, and got more calls. He ended up selling, I think, for $2,300.
Yeah, like that. Oh, wow.
It's like, so he told Leif, it's like, hey, man, list it for more than what you think it's worth, and you may get more calls.
I think so.
Which doesn't make
the other guy did sense. He did kind of test the waters by listing it at a lower price. I mean, especially with all the customizations that he's done. Maybe he should start from the bottom and work his way up, like the other guy did. I don't know.
I don't know if that's a good idea. Well, what's worse, starting low and going higher, or starting higher and going lower?
You don't have to sell low.
Yeah.
If you start low, you can always just say no.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, you say OBO. Or best offer, so.
I don't know. I mean, you get into the haggling thing. I know that I've listed bikes, like, I just want to get rid of it, and I'll list it cheap. And then people will come and lowball you. And it's like, no, don't even insult me. It's worth more than that. I just wanted to sell it this weekend. I've had bikes, $100, come and get it. Right. I'll give you 50. It's like, no, I just want to get it out of my space. Like,
well, everybody
no.
thinks they're a haggler. Like, everybody... Yeah. You have to take that into account. Everybody thinks they're a haggler, and some people are really good at it. Some people suck, like Eason.
That's so funny.
Tell me this
how much
story.
You want this for this bike? I'm selling it for $600. Oh, how about $700?
Like, he did this. This is what I did. Yeah. And I said, "Shut up."
It was the
what are you
GF4
doing?
Saber. It was the Honda Saber.
Why
I had.
Would you go up?
Okay. And, it's like,
it's worth more than that.
How about $700?
That was so funny.
I was like, thanks.
You
but
and I kind of like,
six
each
is
other.
Good.
Okay.
when I sold my last bike, I listed it for like $800 more than it's worth. And then I'm just like, since you're such a special guy, I'm just going to like give it to you for like $500 less. I'm like, oh, cool.
I always feel like if, because I troll Craigslist a lot, if I see a bike that's been on there for a really long time and the price keeps getting lower, I start to go, what's wrong with this? Like, why aren't people buying this? Yeah. Like, what, you know, has someone who knows what they're, you know, doing, have they looked at it and go, oh, this isn't worth the money? So that's what I wonder when I see the price getting lower. Yeah. I don't know. And I look on Craigslist. I'm on Craigslist all the time.
Oh, me too. Yeah, so. every at least once or twice a day.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I see a bike that I really want, and I just, like, freaking just
that's what I do during
get
class.
So mad. I'm just like, I want money to buy this thing, you know? So,
yeah, I did that. I mean, I just listed to, right now it's up there. I listed my scooter that I was working on last week, and... I put it up for about 150 more than I'll settle for, or actually a lot more than I'll settle for what I want. And I was like, I'll see if anyone bites.
I'd say
I got one bite, so
nice.
I might sell it tomorrow. Who knows?
That's good. Well, I usually do it higher just because they always want to haggle down, and always because they'll like be like, oh, there's like a chip in the paint, like right here.
Right.
Like that, I'm not gonna pay that much for it. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll knock you down a couple $100. So I always start higher for that, you know.
Yeah.
And my scooter's got a lot of cosmetic problems, so I'm expecting people to be like, really? And I'm like, no, all right. Well,
it is what it is, man.
$100 off, you know, but yeah.
That's fair.
I think we're ready to wrap it up. Liza went inside to put on Walking Dead.
Yeah. So we gotta go.
Oh. Yeah, we gotta cut it short today. Check us out at Facebook. It's Recycle Garage.
Mm-hmm. And then,
Santa Cruz Recycle Garage.
Everything's different. And then MotorcyclesandMisfits.com.
MotorcyclesandMisfits.com. You can email us, get a shout out, and a free fucking t-shirt. Nobody's emailed yet, so email us.
And the email is...
your information and address, and we will send you a free t-shirt. Email is recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. I think that's it.
Like us on Facebook.
Check it out. There's going to be videos and photos coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Post a comment on our web space.
Yeah.
So I'm Doug. We got Donut.
Yo.
Anayi.
Hey.
Megan.
Hey.
Lucas.
What's up?
Mike.
Hello.
And no, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Go.
And Liza.
Bye, Liza.
Bye, Liza.